In the darkness of the night, temperatures drop as your fear rises. The sounds of the unknown only grow louder and closer, and you feel your demise is at hand. You stop and turn and see the harmless dancing shadows in your wake. You let out a shaky breath, almost a laugh. It must have been your imagination. Suddenly you feel a cold wind whip around you, and the shadows whisper, "Phantasmagoria."
Anybody have an opener?
I don't. We could talk about how my body is thin and
sexy.
I was going to say sexual, but sexy sounds better.
Sensual?
My sensual slim self.
Tell us about that, Houston.
About my open body.
Enough about me.
Houston, let me start this podcast. Let me start this podcast off by asking you.
I'm going to start the podcast right there, so that everybody thinks that we're all talking about me, and now we're talking about you, Houston. So
okay,
go ahead.
Okay.
Let's hear about your sensual body.
Okay, you should start it after this. I will say that I do still have to be a little careful with... This is a bad opener. I have to be careful on how funny I make this podcast, because my side will explode if
I
laugh too hard.
Tell us why.
So I had my gallbladder taken out. That's it. That's the story.
This dum-dum came to a podcast, a comedy podcast, with the inability to laugh.
Houston comes rolling home with literal slices in his side, and he states to me,
This
is like 3 days after he's been laying on the couch for 3 days, writhing in pain. He finally gets up, hobbles into the kitchen, looks me in the eye and says, "If I laugh, it will hurt me." And so, I died. I lost my mind on the spot.
Sam kind of giggled, and he like walked over to where I was going through the fridge, and we looked each other in the eye, and just no words. No words, but it was a moment of like we knew the dialogue might as well have been, "I'm about to start laughing, I'm going to kill you." And I said, "Please do it." And he did.
Oh, yeah.
And what? I started to laugh. He started to laugh. And there were tears coming out
there
of my eyes.
There were literal tears coming out of my eyes, too.
I had to run away.
he ran.
I left the room.
Upstairs.
Once you can't laugh, then you just...
You laugh. And I am especially bad at that.
Way bad. I have taken advantage of it over and over again, and Sam has paid dearly. So I kind of see this as karma.
He got me
punched
in
my microphone.
He got me
sorry
in a,
about that.
In a movie theater once, and I had to walk out of the movie.
You had to leave the movie. And if you want to know how funny the comment was in relation to the movie, it was Captain Marvel. Miss Marvel? I don't even remember the name of the movie.
Wasn't it That's What She Said?
It was...
No.
I'm thinking of a different...
No, you're not, because it's in the same vein. Nick Fury's holding, like, a screw or something, or is talking about, like, picking a lock. I don't even remember what it was. But it was like a clear, like, Michael Scott, "That's What She Said." But all I did was nudge Sam and give him the old eyebrows, and he had to leave the theater because he was laughing too hard. He couldn't do it.
Sam, I expect better from you.
See, it's the scenario. I was set up to fail. Like, when you can't laugh, then it's like, this is now the funniest thing that I've ever heard.
If Sam and I are sitting in the back of a Sunday service, and I look at him the wrong way, he has to leave. or else Jesus can't dwell in that chapel any longer. Anywhere where it's inappropriate to laugh, Sam will laugh if you prompt him in the slightest. It's at the point now where I don't even have to like smile or do anything. If I give him the right kind of look, he'll die.
So yeah, Houston's had a rough week being best friends with the two funniest people that ever walked the face of the earth.
I'm flattered, Kevin. I didn't deserve it.
It's interesting, actually, how the inability to laugh fully has made things 10 times funnier just across the board.
Oh yeah, I don't know if you've been sitting here for the past 5 minutes. How long have we been
about
this?
If you find yourself in a situation, in a lifestyle or frame of mind where laughing has become difficult for you, go ahead and go get surgery and
make it physically hard for you to
make
laugh.
Make it physically painful to...
It doesn't help. Like, Did you not hear what I just said? Because of my inability to laugh, I have been laughing harder and more frequently at everything. And it's making me die.
Because of his stitches.
Because of my stitches. Like, you know when you're scrolling through Reddit?
Being in stitches.
What?
You know when you're scrolling through Reddit or you're watching a video and it might get a little, like, nose burst laugh out of you? Every single one of those has put me into a full rolling on the floor.
It really puts you in stitches, huh?
It rips my stitches.
He's still trying to land it.
I don't know what he's doing.
I'm just going to beat it until it's dead.
His plane has no wheels, and he is desperately trying to land this joke. So who's got the first...
Well, first of all, welcome to Phantasmagoria.
Oh, yeah. Can we
officially,
just...
I might add, it's the end of the year and they've put out the awards. Officially the funniest podcast. I got emailed by Apple and Spotify.
Of 2020. So... Yeah.
Who... Was it Mark Zuckerberg that contacted you?
Yeah,
too,
no, or? Mark Zuckerberg contacted...
Was he the one that actually reached
from
out?
From Spotify. The Mark Zuckerberg of Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Spotify. Old Mark Zuckerberg of Spotify.
You landlubbers use Spotify, but we use Spotify.
We
should have taken an ibuprofen before we started. It hurts, man.
We are we're in a new setting, so
sorry if it sounds like poop. We're trying it on a new computer in a new room.
Yeah, this is a little test run. Hopefully, the goal is to be better than the previous episodes, but it very well could be worse.
We have run into worse quality with that goal in mind more than once.
But either
I won't
way.
Tell you which episodes they are, but
I think it's fairly evident.
You think we have to tell them which episodes it is? They know.
Well, that's if they've listened to all of them.
They have.
You want a big laugh? You search. You search through our episodes. You listen to our episodes. You find the bad ones. They'll make you laugh.
I bet you can't find them.
I bet you can't. Yeah, they're hidden in there.
Either way, welcome to Phantasmagoria. Oh my gosh, I've forgotten our tag.
The podcast for your ears.
That is like an exorcism for your ears. If you make it that way.
This is a Phantasmagoria, the podcast.
Not the live action film, not the YouTube series.
Am I going?
Is
it my
show.
Story time?
It can be
sure.
If you so choose it to be.
Okay, this is...
I did hear the live action film was pretty good.
I don't like how they depicted me at all.
I was kind of hot.
I don't know why they had Kevin played by a woman. I don't know what the creative direction was behind that.
It makes... Well... this is titled "I Can Sleepwalk While I'm Awake."
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can we just move
get them all
back?
Out? Get them all out.
I can't.
That's called walking.
I'm sleepwalking while I podcast. Ooh, here I am.
You're sitting in a chair.
Yeah, sleepwalking.
Sometimes, if I'm tired enough, as I'm falling asleep, I can almost keep myself awake at a point very close to sleep, but not quite. The best way I can describe it is you're falling asleep and in your eyes feel very, very heavy. You take that moment in time and freeze it.
with a freeze spell?
Freeze
or a
it.
Ray gun.
Or a ray.
A freeze ray gun.
And keep yourself from falling asleep. First of all, it sounds like this kid has mastered the impossible task of... like knowing when you fall asleep.
Well, isn't that like a thing? Like, we were joking about it, but I want to know where I read this. But there was some scientist or philosopher who, like, it's someone like really well known. I just don't know which one it is.
Sleepy Jones.
Sleepy Jones.
Kevin Siraj?
Master of sleep. No, but he figured out how to like microdose his sleep to like sleep for like in 15 to 30 minute increments throughout the day. But he could stay awake for 24 hours, and he lived, like, most of his life that way. And this sounds almost kind of similar.
Wait, 15 to 30-minute increments throughout a 24-hour period?
So from 12 midnight to 12 midnight, throughout the day, if he ever started getting tired, he would just, like, let his body rest in these 15 to 30-minute, like, segments, like half awake, half conscious, half asleep, and he did that for, like, most of his life. Reportedly.
Well, okay, well, what was the quality of his life?
I don't know. I mean, he was a great scientist.
I can't imagine this guy was some Olympic athlete.
I imagine he was very tired.
That's what I'm saying. I've discovered good for you, dum-dum.
I've discovered something grand.
I'll tell you about it
in
30 minutes.
In 15. I'm pooped.
Okay, the story continues. I'm aware of things going on around me, like if my sister were to walk by the door, I could hear her walk by and see her shadow move by. But I can also dream if I close my eyes, and then I can see the dream. But if I open them...
I can think and imagine things if I actively choose to do so, while sleepwalking, while I'm awake.
If I open them, I can see everything that's happening in the real world, although I can still hear the dream and feel it. I can do this about once a week, but it's almost like it's draining to do, as I'll be, for some reason, extremely tired the next day.
Sounds like some sort of state of hypnosis.
Self-hypnosis?
I was doing it for a couple weeks before I decided to see if I could move. Just never occurred to me beforehand. I was able to turn over in my bed and then sit up, but when I sat up, it felt like a ton of bricks hit me in the back, and I almost toppled over forward.
A ton of bricks? At what speed? Because that is death.
I'm also willing to bet that this man has never been hit by anything if he thinks that the force hitting his back was a ton of bricks.
Yeah, a ton of bricks would kill you. Well,
depends on how fast it's going.
You're right, Sam. Yeah,
No. If I am laying on my stomach and you set gently,
he sat up.
Oh, I guess that's true.
So if you just get a little,
either way,
a little smooch on the back,
he got squidged off his bed.
If you
and he was like,
gently
whoa.
Lay upon me, Houston Tanner, at any angle or body. A ton of bricks.
No, if I scooted a ton of bricks into
just,
your back,
okay,
it
okay,
hit, it
okay.
hit him in the back, going fairly slow, squidged him right off his bed.
However, if that were the case, if I were to get scooted by a ton of bricks, I wouldn't feel a ton of bricks.
It wouldn't. You wouldn't.
I'd feel
wouldn't
like
say,
10 pounds. Of
I
bricks.
Like that. Yeah.
If you're feeling a ton of bricks
Maybe
at any point in your body. That's going to
death.
Cause serious injury or
that,
death.
That is the going impact, to cause serious
the,
death.
The impact was as if a ton. It doesn't matter how many
one
bricks.
Ton of
then
bricks.
You lose. You lose the game.
Yeah, you lose. You're done, though.
In any, yeah, anywhere.
A ton per square inch.
It hit me in the back, and I almost toppled over for it, and I woke up, I guess you could say. I tried it again.
I guess you could say.
He tried to
are
get away
awake
with that.
Or are you not?
I almost read right past that. How dare you try to let
be
that
able
one
to
slide?
Sleep while awake, and is also saying I might as well be asleep while awake. Like
you whatever. Could say I woke up, but I'm awake already. I was awake before,
or
but
I'm
now
still,
I'm
or I'm still asleep.
But
you,
now
who
I'm
could
even
say?
More awake.
You could say.
You could. See.
You
could.
You, who's to say? You.
You could.
You could.
If you want to say I'm awake, you could say that with the state of being that I was in. This question makes me mad. I hate this guy.
Oh, there's no question about it, Houston.
You're right. There is technically no question.
This is a declarative statement. I tried it again a week or so later, but I moved extremely slowly, and I can't describe the feeling of trying to walk. It's like walking drunk while extremely sober. I walked to my door and opened it. The light hit me hard, and it snapped me out of it. I haven't tried it again because it was very unpleasant feeling. It was a very unpleasant feeling getting snapped back to reality so quickly. I just wanted to say that I have sleep paralysis on the regular. And a reoccurring nightmare, but so far they have been unrelated to this. I would hate to have the nightmare while I was awake. It's strange, and I don't really have an explanation for it, so I just wanted to post it somewhere and maybe ask advice on how to stay asleep while I'm awake longer. Stay asleep while I'm awake longer.
Why do you want this? I guess if you could function your regular life.
That was my freaking question, okay? So I'm like, cool story, bro. What do you do with this power?
This is what you do. You become rested while you expend that energy, so you get the benefits of sleeping while never actually having to sleep. He could be awake 24
hours. That's
what
I was trying to say earlier.
Okay, good for
that
you, but
idea.
You're just sitting in bed with a ton of bricks
on your back. Yeah,
I think I would just rather be asleep.
For 7 hours? That's 7 hours of your life gone every day.
That's better than seven hours sitting in your bed with a ton of bricks.
You get a lot of thinking done.
Yeah, that's going to put me 6 feet under, Sam.
I have a question from a friend.
You don't have a question.
I think I deleted
Your friend
it,
has a
actually.
Question.
Here it is. I found it. What is the best method of winning the lottery using my spiritual methods? Originally, I would do it by using the manifestation technique. Ask, believe, receive. However, I was also curious about using the...
Why the confused look, Sam?
You look shocked and offended.
There's no room for confusion here.
Okay, I apologize.
However, I was also curious about using the precognition psychic ability and developing this ability to predict future lottery numbers. What will the next lottery numbers be in the next hour? I know I have this ability because I have had very accurate premonition dreams before and other future prediction experiences.
Okay, that's the one.
It seems to me like if there are multiple factions of this ability, why not just...
Use it for this.
Use both. Yeah. Why not just develop that and you would never...
It sounds like he's trying to say, I do have the ability to look into the future whenever I want. However, it hasn't been working with my lottery tickets. How do I fix this? He says, to develop this ability, I'm currently doing 10 hours a day of mindfulness and meditation to deepen my intuition.
Holy wrong. Macaroni wrong. And cheese.
Wrong.
10 hours
he's
a
wrong.
Day?
He's wrong. He lied to you, Kevin.
He's holding his, sitting on the floor, holding Houston. His lottery ticket,
Who's this friend?
Trying to predict.
Who's this huh? friend of yours?
It's not Why, a friend.
You said it's a friend.
I said I had a question.
That's from a friend. You said that.
Everyone's my friend. I'm a nice guy. I have a lot of friends.
He's going to play that card.
I can
right
assume
now.
That I would get along with this person.
A friend would never hurt you and
ask you to do something wrong.
And this friend has lied to
you. Has this person asked anything of me, Houston Tanner?
They lied.
Yes.
They asked, I don't know. Do you know that? You can prove that.
Hoped that
they said,
you would believe.
What's the best
folly.
Way? What's the best way for me to con the lottery system?
They hope that you would believe folly, Houston.
I can appreciate a nice grift as long as it's not on me.
I don't care if you can appreciate it. It's wrong.
Kevin, if you ran out of a Walgreens with a Reese's Pieces bag, I wouldn't be like, we're not friends, because wow, I can't believe you
I
did
would.
That.
What is he saying?
I would.
I'm saying crime.
This is irrelevant.
No,
it
but...
It didn't tie in at all, but Kevin, our friendship is over. If I see you hightailing out of a Walgreens...
No, Houston.
The
question
is, security guard.
If I were to ask you to run out of a Walgreens with a Reese's Pieces bag,
is this individual asking
then,
me?
Then I have been disqualified from being your
friend.
This
is what's happening. You are planning a heist of said Reese's Pieces.
Okay.
You say, I train 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
I train 10 hours a day for this Reese's
Pieces. Are you just not going to believe me?
Fact.
Why?
Because that's your entire... You're not training 10 hours a
day. You have no way of knowing that.
I know.
You don't know that this individual is not focusing for 10 hours a day trying to predict the lottery.
I'm doing 10 hours of push-ups every day so that I can be strong.
Different.
Sounds like an anime I've seen. Or a couple animes I've seen.
They don't ever do push-ups. It's a friendship thing. Then they get strong. I have an app on my phone.
They do push-ups, but then it's not enough, and then... then the friendship
kicks it's when in. They lose you have to lose and then suddenly randomly get
and then win
win that's every anime you've seen them all now uh oh I'm losing but now I'm mad ah! now
win.
I win
W
because I believed I have this app on my phone that generates random numbers I practice using my intuition to predict the right predict the right numbers I've been practicing for a week but I feel definitely improved right now I get more of them right than any of my family members. But I'm debating with myself on what's the best spiritual method to use to win the lottery. So he has figured out how
That's
to...
That's what I'm saying.
He's figured out the psychic way to win the lottery, but he wants to know the spiritual way of winning the lottery.
This is not what
I don't get it.
Desires.
He's asking, like, what the best way to... It's like, bro, how about you just win the lottery? If you have a surefire way of winning the freaking lottery, what are you doing on Reddit? What are you asking people for advice for?
It seems like he has multiple ways that he could go about it.
Big deal. What are you just trying to flex on us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I have zero ways.
Not only can
I
win it in a psychic prediction way, but I can call upon spirits to tell me
he's like
those lucky numbers.
So which should I do? Which way would you guys prefer I do this? Because I can do it.
That really is the next thing he says. He said, should I use the usual normal manifestation technique to manifest the win, or should I develop my precognition psychic ability and predict the lottery numbers that way?
Yeah, this
any
dude's
help
flexing.
Is appreciated. Thank you.
He's flexing harder than I've ever seen before.
Well, he trains 10 hours a day, so he's got plenty to flex.
At what point is he not the expert? If he has two surefire ways of knowing how to win the lottery, why is he not?
It's not about being an expert. He is strictly just flexing on the reader.
This is like
he's saying I'm going to win the lottery. Hey, first and foremost, everyone cool with that outcome. First and foremost, I'm winning the lottery. And item number two. How would you like me to do it?
Yep. This is like a superhero asking a child, how would you like me to go about rescuing this person from a building? I mean, I could teleport in there. I could bring the building down and protect them with my muscles. I could just...
How would you like me to wreck this supervillain?
How would you... How?
Laser beams.
I mean, I could develop some mega strength.
I could punch him in
the face.
I've
been training 10 hours a day. Maybe I can... You know, get them.
That's just and the kids like.
I've never participated in a lottery, but isn't it like you say I would like a lottery ticket, and then they hand you a ticket, and then you just get your numbers, or do you actually get to pick your numbers?
No, I don't think so.
You think they just hand you a ticket?
You pick your numbers. I'm pretty sure.
Do you
pick your numbers?
Yeah, maybe it depends on the lottery. There's probably a bunch of different kinds of lottery.
Because people write down. They have like numbers that they use. They'll use like their mom's birthday as their lottery numbers.
I never understood. I almost want to to a degree, I get gambling in the sense of like blackjack or poker or things like where it's still luck, but you can make decisions based off your hand and still kind of like play to win in a sense, right? Like there is skill involved in those kinds of things. I don't understand like, okay, give me a ticket. Hope I get it. Like that, I don't understand the, like I get the appeal of it because it's like they want to win a bunch of money. But, like, why would you not gamble in a way that you can rely on yourself a little more than hope this works?
How do you hope
this ticket's good?
How do you do that? How do you enter the numbers? Like, do you write them down on the ticket?
You probably tell them what you want, and they print them off.
Oh, okay.
That's probably what it is.
Sense. But
yeah.
Then I'm thinking, like, what about the people that buy, like, a million lottery tickets?
I don't know.
That is a good question.
I don't know.
It probably depends on the lottery. Because, like... I'm using media, right? I think of like...
There are a lot of people that know a lot about lottery tickets, and we three people
do
know
not.
Nothing, and we have discussed lottery tickets for like 4 minutes.
You're right, and the best part about it is I will never, ever buy a lottery ticket.
Maybe we should all go buy a lottery ticket. What are they, a dollar?
They're like 10 bucks.
Oh my gosh. Kevin, can you spot me $10?
Depends on where you are. Depends on the lottery. I witnessed something a few friends in the woods 9 years ago that haunts me till this day.
That's a long time. We're coming up on a decade of the anniversary.
We haven't had a good forest story in a minute. I feel like early Phantasma days had lots of ghost forests,
spooky woods.
This is a pretty good one. I like this one. Me and some of my buddies used to go to this place called Profile Rock in Massachusetts.
Sorry, just the way you set it up, I very much heard you saying something like, me and my buddies used to go to a place called Haunted Ghost Hill, do not enter. We used to hang out there every now and again.
Actually, late
to
at
our
night.
Surprise.
Sometimes 2 or 3 in the morning. One night during the summer, I go to Profile Rock with three of my friends at 2:30 a.m. just to mess about and explore. Now, I didn't know this at the time, but Profile Rock in the area we were in is part of an area called the Bridgewater Triangle.
There it is.
Bingo.
What? What is that? Why is that anything?
Which is
just
a site?
A big red flag.
Of
triangles are the shape of mystery and intrigue, and you should stay away from them.
Which he didn't know it at the time, though, so you can understand and excuse his folly.
Yeah,
that's why we made our logo only circles. Only round shapes on the Phantasm logo. We are not messing with real spirits.
We didn't want it to be too spooky. which is a site of alleged paranormal activities and also one of the most haunted areas in the state that I live in. Continuing on, we climbed Profile Rock itself, stayed on top of it for maybe 2 or 3 hours. Holy. It was 2:30 a.m. when they went.
And they stayed
for two or three,
crazy.
For three or four hours.
But we've gone and set up like bonfires and like stayed late into the night.
5 a.m. late?
Until 6:30 a.m.?
5 a.m.?
No.
6:30.
6:30? No.
You're probably right.
And we all decided to leave.
We should, though.
At 6:30. Now, as you're leaving Profile Rock, you have to go down this path, long path. It's about 2 miles long to get back to where we were parked our car. Two of my friends were walking about 20 to 30 feet in front of me, and my other friend, now I'll never know why I turned around. I didn't have a feeling like someone was watching us. I just simply turned around because besides the moonlight shining through the trees in certain areas, we only had cell phone flashlights to make our way around. I remember turning 9 years ago. What kind of cell phones did they have 9 years ago? A chocolate?
They had iPhones 9 years ago.
Yeah, it'd be...
No.
Yeah.
That was 2011. Like that was like the first iPhone.
Yeah, 2011.
That's nuts.
That was back when the YouTube app was like a weird radio.
Did they even have flashlights then?
On a phone?
I don't know if the first iPhone had a camera.
It didn't. It had a camera, but it didn't have a flashlight.
It didn't have a flashlight? Are you sure?
Yeah. Flashlights were like the four. Like the iPhone 4.
You could still use your screen though. Why do you know that?
Because I remember when Skylar got one, he made a big deal about
they had a flashlight. I could be wrong.
He could have just been making a big deal about it. A flashlight.
I remember turning around and seeing someone running at us from about 150 feet away, full speed.
Yikes!
What threw me off wasn't that they were running at us.
A brisk jog? One of those high arm speed walkers?
It was how they were running. You know how a zombie walks in a horror movie dragging one of its legs, almost limping?
Yeah. I relate to this.
That's how this someone... Do you?
Well, no. Like when something moves at you that shouldn't look like it can move fast and it does move fast,
okay.
That's an unsettling... I hate that in movies.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
That's how someone was running at us. At first, I didn't see anything and possibly assume...
Running? You're running like that? Because that's creepy.
Creepier than a normal run.
Very creepy.
A normal run would
How a zombie limps...
Horrifying.
And this guy's running at you like that.
At first, I didn't see anything and possibly assumed it was one of my friends or someone that was already in there who got injured and needed assistance.
You see this figure cooking towards you, and you stop and think... Well, let me do a quick roll count with my buddies. And I'm like, what? Nope, all four of us are all right. Okay, time to skedaddle.
Time to be scared.
Go. 1, 2, 3.
All right, now time to 4. Exit the premises. Yeah.
Who got injured and needed assistance. Until this someone made it to an area of the path where the moonlight reached through the trees and gave them some perspective. What I saw still chokes me up to this day. You ever see a child try to draw a person? How they make a stick figure most of the time?
I don't like where this is going.
That's exactly how this someone looked. I caught maybe a 10-second glance as it was running under the moonlight lit trees, but I saw no distinguishable facial features, no eyes, no mouth, and no ears. Its arms and legs looked like that of an extremely malnourished person, almost completely black, and it didn't look like skin or any type of clothing from what I could see. I almost can't describe it, TBH, and you could blatantly tell it wasn't a mask or one of those Halloween blackout suits. I recall calling out to my friend in a panicked voice who was walking with me, who was maybe 10 feet ahead of myself. I shined my cell phone light on him as he was looking where I was just looking, and I could tell right away from his facial expression that I wasn't seeing things. It was now maybe 40 feet away from us, if that almost the same distance as our friends in front of us, and me and my friend just took flight and started running.
You would literally fly. Fly. Yeah. At the speed of which you would get away from there.
Dude, that is mega creepy.
Have you ever had an adrenaline rush where you're running and then you're like, whoa,
I'm
going really fast? Have you ever had that moment?
I absolutely have.
It's kind of a cool, like, you're like, wow. I'm a fast boy.
Look at me go.
I can't remember the last time I felt like that.
Like a gazelle.
Not since I've been an adult. Not since I've been somebody I feel like could be fast.
Yeah, probably not in my adult life.
Only when
either.
I play Ultimate Frisbee. That's when it really kicks in. my ultimate speed.
My two other friends in front of us shot around and asked us what was wrong. And I replied, just run. and all four of us jetted for our car. I remember taking a glance back as we were running, and there was nothing there, even though whatever was chasing us could certainly be on our tails by now. We all hopped in our car, and my friend who was walking with me yells, "Dude, tell me you seen that. What the F was that?" I told him I seen the same thing, and I asked him to describe to all of us what he saw, and he described literally the exact same thing I witnessed.
I hate when people can confirm that you're also afraid.
They're like, dang it, man.
By now, my other two friends are thinking we're joking around or messing with them, until my friend who was walking with me swore on his father, who has passed away not even a month ago, that he's telling the truth. I was kind of frustrated, TBH, because I couldn't believe my other two friends didn't see it, as they turned around to question why we were running, but it doesn't matter now.
All right, we're going back. We are going... Oh, I'm going to...
We actually went back with a few more people the day after and witnessed nothing, of course. I'll never know what it was or who it was or what it wanted. But I know one thing. There's no way in heck two people would both imagine seeing some stick figure specter in the woods.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I don't get it, man. I don't understand the thought process behind that.
Going back?
Yes.
I will never understand it either.
I think that's why we can do this podcast so well, because we have the very logical, like, no curiosity. No, I'm pretty sure that's something dangerous, so I'm leaving.
See, here's the thing though. I think that once you're in a situation like that is unbelievable, and then you're out of it and you're safe, you're like, your curiosity makes you want to go back.
At the same time, dude, like, anything like that, I mean, put yourself in those shoes. You see something like this, and you truly believe that it is real, and there's something out there. If you were to even take a photo of that, you win. You're a winner.
You know what?
Your life has changed forever.
We've talked about this kind of a thing so much. I think that if one of us three were to be in a situation where we had some kind of experience like this, I think we'd be quick on the draw with our phone.
I don't think I would be. My mind would not be on my phone.
Not your phone. But like, just the fact that we do this podcast,
I don't think
that we
I
talk about this kind of thing all the time.
My mind would be 100% on the situation at hand.
Yeah, I always think about I'm on Snapchat and I'm like watching just a bunch of random videos, Facebook random videos, and I am always just baffled by how people capture
some of
the videos that they capture.
There are some things where it's like, why is your phone out?
The rising generation is just like, they're automatic.
Yeah,
they're like, something's happening. Phone, boom.
If I'm going,
that's the only way I could explain it.
I'm going into fight or flight mode. My phone is the last thing that I'm thinking about.
Yeah,
even if like calling somebody or letting somebody know that I am in trouble is something that would be a good idea, I don't even think I would do that. You'd get the F out.
I think I'm quick on the draw with 911.
I would fly.
But that's it. I've always thought
you're quick on the draw with how many times have you called 911?
Well, no, I'm just saying like I've been in situations where I've been like,
oh, is it time to call?
If this were to happen,
yeah,
then I would immediately, precautiously dial 911.
Yeah, I've only called 911 twice in my life. One preemptively,
I
shouldn't have. The second one, I definitely should have, for sure.
I did. I think I'll have to tell you guys about that story. That was kind of.
I don't know if I've told mine on the podcast. The two Puerto Rican guys who got in a knife fight on a bus.
Yeah, you did.
I think you did.
Okay.
Did he tell it on the podcast?
I don't know. I heard that story
multiple
times.
I think he did.
I can't remember.
Well, if a listener out there really wants to hear that story, email us.
Just let us know.
I'll tell it again next week.
Or we'll freaking...
Basically, if you want the rundown, I single-handedly held back two grown men from having a knife fight.
They were swords.
Swords.
Last time you told it, they were swords.
They were swords.
Sabers.
With guns on the hilt.
Yarr.
And I fought them off and taught them the error of their ways. And then called 911.
So we've got a story sent in by...
our friend Corey, right?
Corey B. Well, I'll just say B because that's all
Corey
I can
B. what?
See.
Jones?
Corey B. Ballin.
Corey B. sending us some fire stories.
Boo!
Knock, knock. Okay, I've also got a new story for y'all. Everyone I work with thinks the library we work at is haunted. The manager says that for years she's seen the figure of a businessman in old-fashioned clothes walking past the building in the morning, but he always appears and vanishes in the same spots. The manager also claims that there's a shadow figure that wanders around the stacks, but she told me not to be concerned because the figure gives off chill vibes, bro.
You can tell by the shape of the shadow that there is a blunt in its mouth. So it's fine.
So he'd just be chilling.
He'd just be chilling. I mean, reading some book. Dude, that would be a dope place to die as a ghost.
The library.
The library?
Yo.
That would be a great place.
Another spirit everyone calls Peekaboo has been spotted by several employees on multiple occasions.
I'm going to die in a library. I'm going to make that happen.
Peekaboo is the size of a child and solid black. The only feature visible is its white teeth when it smiles, which it does sometimes.
That's terrifying.
It's called Peekaboo because it is always seen peeking around the corner or something in the library, usually fairly up close. If it sees that someone has noticed it, it smiles.
Yikes.
Some of the library assistants think the Peekaboo spirit is getting bolder. One employee left a charm bracelet on their desk after they locked up, and when they got back, the bracelet was broken, and the...
Well, I hate to break it to you, but that's another employee blaming it on Peekaboo.
And then the charms were scattered. Another was looking for a book in the stacks when they felt a hand on their back. Oh, he's getting handsy now.
He/she. Peekaboo, yeah.
Peekaboo could be both.
I don't really think the library is haunted. Oh, wow, okay. Corey.
Corey, it sounds like you should really reconsider whether this library is haunted.
I arrive at the library.
Kevin, hold up. Sam, are you okay?
Yes.
Sam's doing calisthenics over here.
I turned in my chair and there's a metal part on the chair and it hit me right on my back and it hurt.
I'm just watching this man convulse.
That hurt a lot.
I'm sorry.
I arrive at the library a couple hours before we open in the morning, and I'm usually the only one there during that time. And I've never seen anything. But everyone I work with is convinced. If there are some spirits hanging around, why would they be haunting a library? What unfinished business could they have with us? Or would a library attract something more sinister than ghosts? Is there any library-specific kind of cryptid I should know about?
Ooh, a library-specific cryptid. There's got to be...
It's their overdue book that they never...
Ooh, and they're stuck there.
You know if there's an overdue book somewhere in the mix that... Even death will not let you get away.
If Japan doesn't have a yokai for that, then I will be shocked with the amount of things they have yokai for.
Yeah, these are people who had overdue library books, and the fines racked up so high that they ended up just offing themselves, hoping to get out of the debt, and their overdue library book remains in their possession, and they're sentenced to live the remainder of eternity in the library.
That has to have been a movie at some point. It has to be. Like even if like it's like a kids type horror.
So here's the solution. Obviously, you get your coworkers and you tell them to go find the book.
Here's let me link the last two stories to get a true solution out of this. If you are the only one, Corey, who is not seeing this, and you're like, I think they're full of shiz, put it to the test. You go to your coworkers and your manager and be like, okay, you're clearly seeing this all the time. You take a picture next time. You record something. Next time books are floating around the room and you see the guy in the trench coat, take a f***ing picture.
I think you
because,
just...
Because, wow.
Get the GTFO out of there.
I mean, they've been working there for years, and if it's fine, it's fine. Unless he's getting handsy. I don't know what Peekaboo's after.
The hands on the back, and I mean, if
Peekaboo,
at the rate Peekaboo is going,
Peekaboo gave me an unasked for shoulder massage earlier, and I'm getting a little uncomfortable.
Well, I am uncomfortable. It was really nice.
He just kept whispering Peekaboo into my ear while he did it. I didn't like it,
dude. You know what? I might be down for that.
A Peekaboo massage.
A Peekaboo massage, chilling in the library.
I don't like a book. The idea of. Like
straight reading a book, bro.
I don't
the
even
stark
boy
white
or
teeth.
Girl. I don't even care.
The The stark white teeth on the shadowy figure, I don't like the idea of that smile. It reminds me of, this is nerdy, it reminds me of that Full Metal Alchemist, God, I think it is, the truth, whatever his name is. It reminds me of him, but black instead of white. And that would be really creepy in real life. Really disturbing. I would not like it.
So anyway. Is that the...
Did we actually come to a consensus on anything?
Well, I mean, yeah,
take a freaking picture.
I guess it was just kind of a story, but yeah, I would like some photo evidence of.
And I don't. I wish I should have read that. I read most of that story before, a little bit, but I would very much like to look into library cryptids and see what's on the table there.
I think yeah. Just tell your coworkers they're full of crap.
Ooh.
And
if you tell them they're full of crap enough, they might get angry enough to prove it.
Dude, that's what I'm saying.
Except that they'll just do dumb stuff like...
The ball is in your court, like as long as they don't have any proof.
They'll start doing dumb stuff like breaking your charm bracelets and stuff and scattering it out.
That's true.
They're like, ooh, it was a ghost.
It was peekaboo.
Yeah, but the ball is still in your court because that doesn't prove a darn thing.
No, but that's what those are the things that they'll do in order to try and prove it.
But
to
you. If then it you is quit, real...
Then you go on freaking strike... Or freaking...
You're like, you're outside of the side. You're like, yeah, I didn't think I'd have to do this, but no, I'm not going back into short books until they get rid of the ghost. And until they hire an exorcist, I will not be filing any Brandon
until
Mole.
Until they hire an exorcist or a new staff altogether, yeah. Because I am outnumbered.
Either way, this is unbearable. There is a potential that there is a piece of Corey that kind of believes in this. And just doesn't really want to pursue, because once you know it's true, then it's a problem that you have to deal with. Or you have to leave, and maybe they like their job. So maybe ignorance is bliss in that regard.
That's always a, you know, that's kind of the scapegoat.
Well, as we settle down here, computer. Oh,
it's,
never mind.
It's fine.
Okay, I thought that just booted our recording. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, we're still rolling.
As we kind of get into our twilight time here, why don't we just settle down with a nice movie? And what better kind of movie for this time of year than just a warm, fuzzy Christmas movie? So I got shelved again on Amazon Prime here for you guys.
Whoa, that's the movie?
Shelved.
It sounds pretty spooky.
I guess. Private Gumdrop of Santa's Special Ops has been sent on a mission.
God. Okay.
Has been sent on a mission to spy on the conduct of the little boys and girls of the world. What Santa didn't expect was that his elf would transgress and terrorize the Montgomery family. Now the Montgomerys must decide how they will defeat this
the
elf.
Montgomery family.
What a naughty, naughty elf.
So wait, so Santa hires an elf.
Henta? Whoa.
No.
Santa. Good gravy, I can't do it.
Santa Claus.
Good old Saint Nicholas has hired Private Gumdrop, one of his elves, to become a special force to spy on the children of the world. In his old age, Gumdrop has said, F this, and is now terrorizing the children of the world, specifically the Montgomery family.
You know what he probably did? I think that I imagine in the North Pole. I imagine in the North Pole that...
You good?
I am good. I imagine in the North Pole that there are... there is a culture of children worship that they motivate the elves by saying how grand and great the children are.
That is interesting.
And only after seeing real children did he realize that they're little POSs and that he
this is the screenplay we need. Them.
Do you think Santa has in a sense gaslit these elves and it being like, the children of the world are dark and vicious gods and we must bring them offerings once a year. I'll bring them to them. I don't even want you guys to see these. You make them, I will face the gods and give them their tributes, and then we'll do it again next year. And the elves are like, yes, thank you, you've done it. Elves don't even know.
And Private Gumdrop's like, man, my life sucks. I just freaking make toys for these dark children gods. I need to get to the bottom of this.
I like the twist where he thinks they're angels, and then he sees this kid talking back to his mom, and he's like, yo, this kid's a little POS. What am I doing here?
Well, that is what
this kid deserves. Or he thinks he has the idea that they're great before.
Well, and then Private Gumdrop is like, falls in love with the kid's mom.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
Right?
Not in this.
Well,
this
what
is
business
horror.
Does he have in the Montgomery family other than...
I saw mommy kissing
Gumdrop?
Private Gumdrop.
Private Gumdrop. Well, I think you're forgetting that Gumdrop is the authority of Naughty and Nice List. Santa has hired this one elf to find out who's good and who's bad. This man is in charge of who is getting what. And maybe this family's so bad that Santa's... I don't know. Here's a picture of him, which I actually... It's the elf on the shelf brought to life.
What?
Which I don't like.
Come on.
He's freaking creepy.
I was excited for something like...
Well, you want Papa Elf from the hit movie Elf?
No, I want...
Running around trying to smooch the Montgomery mom? No,
that's exactly what I don't want. I want something original.
He is still horrifying.
He's... Yeah.
Yeah, but do you know how many times I've seen that freaking stupid elf?
Too many. Well, it's because it's scary.
It's not anymore, okay?
But
I don't care about it.
The description ends with, now the Montgomerys must decide how they will defeat this elf doll with the power of Kringle and the conscience of Krampus. Just a nice little tagline.
Chris?
Kringle and Krampus team up?
No. He has the powers of Kringle, but the conscience of a Krampus.
Oh.
It's just a clever way of saying like he's got the good magic powers, but he's using them for Krampus reasons.
For gotcha. Shenanigans.
So why is it called Shelved?
Because it's this elf on the shelf, probably.
That's it?
I don't know. Kevin, I haven't seen this movie.
That's all, Houston?
That's all you're willing to give me on this Christmas season? Yeah,
you didn't watch the trailer?
Houston,
you have to watch the trailer.
The audio was horrible, and the little girl mumbled, which made it worse. The acting was mediocre, and the dialogue was bad. Five stars.
What? I don't think this person understands the rating.
Except Gumdrops. They said Gumdrops. Audio was good.
That's good.
Wow. How does that work?
At least we got one.
Well,
person.
Guys, we only have enough money for one good microphone. And I think we all know who it's going to.
Here's
so.
Another review.
Montgomery family, just be sure to project and really speak up.
Wow, I'm really scared.
Did you pick that up? Did we get that? That was good.
This comes from... I'm not even going to say the full name because I know our people... A fan will dox this man. Gumdrop is the new horror icon. Whether this terrifying elf is stabbing someone with a carrot, choking them with a loofah, or giving them a heart attack with mothballs or something, Christmas mayhem is in store.
Are these...
Look out, Frosty. This elf is Snow Buddy you want to mess with.
Oh,
oof!
What a
It's bad, Sam.
New horror classic from a director on the rise. I'll be adding this to my holiday family watch list every December. One person found this helpful,
and it was Sam. Sam was the one that found it helpful.
Wow. Houston, are you finished?
Oh, are you done? Are you done with my bit?
Is there anything?
Are you quite finished?
I've got this whole stack of laughs and goofs ready to come to the table. But
if you
want me to just move on,
I was curious to know if you had anything else that you would like to share with
no,
me.
No, you know what? I think I'm done, Sam.
Any maybe sequels? Higher shelved?
No, apparently I'm not very funny. So you know, Sam can go ahead.
I wanted to know.
Sam, he's seen the movie. 7 times.
Yeah,
so
this was Sam's review. That's why I said I wouldn't dox him.
That's kind of why I want to move on.
I've watched this every year, so.
I have come across a list.
Have you checked it twice?
Ah.
It's not our Christmas episode. I have to resist until next week.
This is Christmassy.
Oh,
this is
okay.
Christmassy.
That's a preemptive Christmas list.
This is a list of cryptids.
Okay.
That are Christmas based.
Okay. Is it not just Krampus?
There's a pun there. Come on.
Christmas
cryptids?
Cryptmas?
All right.
Cryptmas.
I'm sorry.
Merry
I said
Cryptmas.
Anything.
That's Halloween.
No, what?
Halloween is Merry Cryptmas?
Undead.
Cryptmas?
Cryptmas.
This was a bad... I'm sorry.
It's our Cryptmas.
I'm so sorry.
No. I'm officially announcing right now. Next week is our Cryptmas episode.
We were driving this train, and there was like one of those big switches on the side. And it was, it just led into the dark, dark woods. And Kevin was like, down on the side of the road, just heaving his whole weight into this switch, trying to get it to go. We passed it. Kevin was like, nope, back the train up. We backed the train up.
Put this mother in reverse.
We all three got out, flipped the switch, and drove off into the woods somewhere. I have no idea where this is going.
The train has not just derailed. It is unable to find the track.
Oh, we're full steam ahead. top of the list, Krampus.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about him before.
We have.
Skip.
Second on the list, Mary Lude. The Christmas
like
zombie
L-E-W-D?
Horse.
She's just a sexy Christmas ghost.
This says L-W-Y-D.
Okay.
Well, that's the Swedish spelling. It's the same thing.
This macabre skeleton mare of Welsh tradition rises from the dead and wanders the streets with her attendants, who are also fresh from the grave, to remind the living of their existence. Mary Lwyd, L-W-Y-D, Lwyd?
It's lewd. Just call it lewd.
Let's just do L. Mary L.
Lwyd. Lloyd. Mary Lloyd is...
That's the one we're sticking with?
It's too late. Let's just keep
going.
Has
only one goal in mind, to get into your house.
The way you were reaching into my soul there.
To keep the zombie horse out, you must engage in a battle of wits.
My Christmas riddle.
Is this a rap battle? Is that what you just said?
In rhyme, no less. Usually on New Year's Eve, where the undead mare is represented by a puppeteer parading a horse skull on a pole draped in white cloth.
I don't like that. These are
pretty short. So
is it a rap battle?
It's a rhyme battle.
Well, I mean, if you want to bust out a rhyme,
rhyme. You have to solve a riddle in rhyme, don't you?
It's not even a riddle. Nobody said anything about a riddle.
You must engage in a battle of wits in rhyme, no less.
Oh, so you have to...
Till there and fits.
So you're literally having a freestyle battle.
What? So you have to rhyme. That's so general. What does that mean?
That means you humiliate... If you can humiliate them in rhymes, you win. And the horse isn't coming in your house.
It is a rap battle. Okay.
You figure it out.
Against a horse skeleton. That's the craziest Christmas tradition I've ever heard.
Yeah, but it's also in Welsh, which might make things interesting.
Okay.
Next one. La Befana. Befana? Befana, probably. And Babushka.
Isn't that the character from Napoleon Dynamite?
Isn't Babushka just grandma in Russian?
I thought so.
I thought so, too.
In Italy, Russia, and parts of Eastern Europe, we encounter a witch-like lady rooted in the fairy tale figure of Mother Hala.
Can I just point out how funny it would be if I found out that in Russia, there was some creepy, like, scary cryptid called Grandma? Just grandma.
Oh, like in English? like yeah, no, I get, yeah, yeah.
That is the equivalent of what we have here.
Of Babushka.
This is interesting. It's based on Mother Hala, which I looked up. In many parts of Europe, witches are a common and popular figure of the Christmas season. Prior to the Christian church taking over January 6th as blah, 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 blah. Let's see, many countries have adapted Birchta in their own cultures, and she goes by many different names and personas. I assume this is one of them. But the further you go back in history, the more fearsome she gets. In more modern times, she's associated with the fairy tale figure Mother Hala.
So she's mellowed out in her old age.
Mother
Hala.
With her enormous teeth, doling out punishments for the lazy and responsible for making it snow upon the earth by shaking out her feather beds and pillows.
Wait. So the lazy people are the ones shaking out her feather bed pillows?
Okay. This witch lady.
Because I'm very lazy and have not shaken about one pillow.
No, she makes it snow by shaking out her pillows.
Okay.
Probably in frustration because of your laziness.
Mine specifically.
In
okay.
Italy, she is known as La Befana, which is what we're reading about. And in Russia, Babushka.
Nice.
The great grandma ghost.
In these incarnations, the old woman is the epitome of a type A personality. She's overly obsessed with order and cleanliness. So when the three kings pass by on their way to visit the Christ child and invite her to come along, she declines the offer, and as she hasn't finished her sweeping.
Where was that? Where was that in the Bible? Where's that passage? Like, oh, well, by the way, while we were trying to get this frankincense across the country, we stopped and for Mrs. Christmas, tried to get her to come with us, and she said no because she had to sweep? Find that passage in the Bible. I wouldn't include that
in my record. I'd be like, screw this lady.
Okay, fair.
She's horrifying.
Is she really?
I'm not going to waste the ink writing about this
for Babushka.
Savage.
Babushka is not worth the ink. That's awesome.
Yeah, so she just kind of cruises around and just destroys children.
Oh.
in what sense? Because
destroys, oh, this is going to be bad. Children, way worse than I thought.
How about this? In Switzerland, Perchta's demon sidekicks, Stragela, which is something that I'm going to read about here in just a second, get to dole out the punishments themselves and aren't terribly discerning as they rob all bad children and tear them to pieces in the air.
Good word.
That must make quite a mess.
So much for the naughty list.
It says that. Yeah, I don't know. She's a little frightening.
Why? Comes up with these stories?
Bored people.
I guess.
Well, no, it's actually the kid. It's the kids that the naughty list didn't work on. They're like, I like Cole, and they're like, well, do you like being torn to shreds? Because
do you like me tearing your limbs off midair?
It's just so extreme. It's like such an extreme place. Like, I don't know how you ramp up to that. Like,
yeah,
if you're
that's,
bad
that's
in December,
a rage.
There will be little demons who come from Babushka. She's going to send them. They're going to pick you up. You're going to fly into the air, and they will tear you limb from limb.
Yeah, that's
so be
that's,
good.
That's a rage story. That's like being fed up with your kid, and he's like,
just bad parenting.
Like, you want a lump of coal? Huh, you little brat? And they're like, yeah. All right. I didn't want to tell you this, but...
take him out back. The traditional centerpiece of a goose...
I didn't want to go here. Oh, my God.
But you're going to get your limbs torn off.
The traditional centerpiece of a goose for Christmas dinner is even tied to witchcraft. Perchta is often referred to as Perchta.
Oh.
Yeah. A sinister figure appearing as half-witch... woman, half demon, with a goose or swan's foot. It was believed that witches rubbed their bodies with goose fat, which enabled them to fly naturally. People left the fat in a pot outside as an offering to witches on Christmas night, where they would take nightly flights.
Can't say it doesn't work because I've never done it.
Called grease.
I have never rubbed. I don't think I've had goose fat touch me. I've never flown.
This is good stuff. People left the fat outside in the pot for the witches where they would take nightly flights called grease flights.
Yeah. I do those every night to McDonald's. That's what I call my McMidnight run.
Yes.
A grease flight.
Good joke. There it is.
Over the 12 days
of Christmas. We're done. The podcast is over.
It only took us about an hour. We finally got one.
Yeah, that's pretty much not really. That's all the same stuff.
Oh.
There are more monsters, but I think I'll maybe share them next week.
Yeah, we've got more. Save the A-listers.
We've got a whole month
week.
Of Christmas cheer and joy. And
well, no, it's actually, we only have one more episode till Christmas.
Oh my gosh.
Which isn't pretty wacky, isn't it?
Sweet
wacko.
Marmalade.
Well, we also missed an episode on account of my inability to move last week, so.
Big true.
Yeah, I hate depriving people of Christmas cheer, and this is our... Cryptness month.
Cryptid.
I said it perfectly the first time and I can't get it again. Cryptmas? Cryptmas.
That sounds like a freaking, that sounds like some gang.
Yeah, our gang.
Cryptmas.
Merry Cryptmas.
No.
No? Well, then what?
Houston, he said no. And no questions
will be
asked.
I'm sorry. Did my response make it
Thanks
sound like I
your
didn't
apology.
Hear what he said?
Thank you for apologizing.
The bottom line is
the way I reacted to that make you think that I didn't hear him say no? Kevin, I don't care. I don't care that he said no.
This has been fantastic.
We have to end the episode is the problem.
Thank you guys for listening.
MagoriaCast@gmail.com.
Phantasmacast on Patreon and on Instagram. If you guys want to support us, we would really appreciate that. I'm going to edit it up a little bit. I think... I was learning how Patreon worked, and that's how I set it up and broadcast last time. So there's some stuff I got to fix. But if you want to support us, we would really appreciate it. If not, it's no big deal. We love that you guys listen. If you don't do that, though, you should share the show.
Please.
Please, please, please share the show.
If you do that, you should share the show.
No, they're good. You either give us money.
If you feel like we are decent enough that you think we should have your money.
You listen here, kid, and you listen good.
No,
you either give us $5 every GD month, or you can have to tell 5 friends about it each month. That's a new rule. New Phantasma rule.
I don't even care about these ifs.
How are you going to enforce that?
Oh, they don't want to know.
You tell people.
I'll get Babushka to bring little demon people to rip them.
Yeah, Sam, we know. We know how to enforce children to do it.
We've got those podcasting connections. Thank you guys for listening. And to all a Merry Christmas.
That was the closeout?